A popular one is $1 million, right? That's what I hear a lot lately. Oh, you need $1 million. I need $1 million to be retired. And I'll ask, where do you get that number from? And they'll say, I don't know. That's what I heard. That's in a million. Could be. Hey, welcome to Building Wealth the Wheeler Way. I am Dr. Wheeler Polium. Happy to have you guys with me. This podcast is designed for people out there are looking to try and figure out more of how to save money for long term, kind of filter out the noise that's out there. There's a lot of talking heads in the news that kind of, you know, stir things up, get people's emotions riled up, and maybe you're worried about inflation, worried about not having enough money, worried about going broke. Those types of things. So this podcast is designed to kind of clean all of that up, give you some real information, some truth, if you will, so you don't have to go out there and break your fingers trying to Google everything, and really from a third party objective viewpoint. So hopefully it helps. Hopefully you guys find this good. And again, glad to have you. People want to know, Wheeler, what's your deal? What's your story? What's a Wheeler anyway? Wheeler's the name Wheeler, that's a whole nother story. But how I came to be here in the financial management world is pretty simple. You know, I was born and raised in Mississippi, graduated the Harvard of the South, which is Mississippi State University, right? Everybody knows that. So out of Mississippi State, I went into the Army as an officer in the infantry and spent time overseas. And it was time to get out, right? This is back in the late 90s, and people are making money hand over fist, all the Yahoos of the world, the Microsoft .com bubble, all of that stuff. Everybody was, you know, gas, I think, was, if you'll believe it, gas was like 99 cents a gallon. And I remember I was in Germany, and gas over there was about $3 a liter. And so I'm like, what am I doing over here? People are paying, you know, and by the way, for those of you who don't know, a liter is about 1/4 of what a gallon is. So I'm paying 4 times as much in gas back then. People, all my friends are doing great stuff, making a lot of money. And so it seemed like a good time to kind of get out. So when I got out of the Army, I didn't have a job, right? So they, back then, companies wouldn't hire you because you were overseas. We say support the vets and that type of thing, and that's fun to say, but then when it, reality comes and you're trying to make that transition, what a lot of people don't know, transitioning as a veteran is probably not as easy as it sounds, right? So when I was interviewing, I was overseas stationed in Germany, and it was with big companies, and they were cautious because they were like, well, you're still in, so we're not sure how that'll work. We are worried you'll get called back up, you'll get deployed. We spend all this money to hire you and train you, but then you get called up and you're not able to get out of the Army. So call us when you get out. So that's scary, right? I mean, how many people out there leave a job before having another job? So I think, it's kind of like a monkey, right? A monkey, when he's holding on to this tree and he goes to jump onto this tree, he doesn't let go of this tree till he's hanging on this tree. Otherwise, he's what, up in the air and then drops, right? So I had to make the decision, and I was married at the time, and it was tough. And so we got out. But when I got out, I didn't know anything about savings. We didn't have in the Army back then. We didn't have a 401k plan. They didn't really talk about that stuff. I think I had, if I remember, I had a $500 savings bond. That's all I did. And I thought that was big. I remember marching into the bank on base, said, I want to save money. I want a $500 savings bond. Banker said, okay. Wrote it out. Here you go. And that's it. So as far as savings went, that's all I had. So, and then I had, I think, about $8,000 in the bank. And we didn't have a home, right, because I was living on Army housing. I didn't have any furniture, really, because we were overseas. And so my wife and I wound up being here in the States with nothing to our name other than maybe $8,000 in the bank and not even a car. We left our car in Germany, too. So I kind of know what it feels like to be out of work, not know where your next paycheck's going to be coming from, not know what your career is going to look like. And oh, by the way, you didn't have a home. I'm not going to go so far as to say I know what being homeless is like, because even we weren't living in the streets or anything. We had friends and family we stayed with, but still not having a home is not fun. I do kind of understand that a little bit. So the point is, what do you do there, right? you just kind of have to persevere through. So that's kind of the feeling. And now I'm interviewing. And so the stress is up. Long story short, we get hired on. I get hired on with General Electric here in Dallas. So that's a great day. But my first day in Dallas was my first day on the job with General Electric, which was a big company back then. For those of you who are keeping up, maybe not so big now. But I didn't know much at GE. You know, I was coming out of the infantry. I knew how to be an infantryman, but I didn't know much about GE and how to be a GE person, so to speak. And GE back then, to their credit, was good, right? Because they would hire veterans. They were known for that. It was back when Jack Welch was still alive and the CEO, and he had a program to help train military officers and set them on the path for success. So I thought I was good, but still very nervous. If you can imagine, probably if you changed schools as a kid at some point in time and you were in high school and you had a bunch of friends in the 10th grade, and then your mom and dad come in and say, hey, we're moving, and you move across country, and then you got to go back to a new school where you don't know anybody, or maybe a new country where you don't know the language. That's kind of how it felt. I was a fish out of water. I didn't know anybody. I didn't have any friends or family here in Dallas. We didn't have a home yet. We're staying in some place, some rent by week place in Euless for, I think, $100 a week with, you know, hardly any furniture. It was a rental furniture. The locks on the door didn't work. Place where you kind of heard gunshots at night. And I remember my wife at the time would barricade the door at night, so because the lock didn't work, maybe they wouldn't get in. So that's kind of where we're at. And then within 4 days, I think, of being on the job, GE had a national sales meeting in Las Vegas. Now, I've never been in Las Vegas before in my life either. So now I've gone from Dallas, now I'm to Las Vegas, and you know, GE's doing great. Again, it's the late 90s. Everybody's making money, or actually it was 2000 at that point. Everybody's making a lot of money. And it's right before 2001 and 9/11, before all that really hit. And I remember the stock is split three ways. And for those of you who don't know what that means, it means a stock, when you had one share and all of a sudden you had three shares. And so everybody at GE was very happy. They were thinking they're going to be millionaires, and a lot of them probably were. And I'm just kind of along for the ride. And I still don't know, as far as when it comes down for, you know, just to start your 401k plan, or your, you know, what are you going to put for your 401k investments? And again, I didn't know what a 401k was. I mean, I kind of knew what stocks were. I kind of knew what bonds were, but, you know, mutual funds, maybe not so much. That type of stuff is all very foreign to me. So I did what most younger kids do. I go to the senior guys out there. I've been around a while. I'm like, hey, you know, can you help me out? You know, what should I do with this 401k thing? And I remember one of the old guys said, ah, Wheeler, you know, put it all in GE stock. You can put your entire 401k in the plan of GE company stock, because it's its own mutual fund. We're in everything. We're in railroads. We're in airplanes. We're in finance. We're in light bulbs. You can't go wrong, right? So, I mean, so I did. What else you can do, right? So I did that. And then sure enough, 9/11 kind of hit, right? And GE stock, and for those of you who follow it, you can go back and Google what GE stock has done since 2000. Here's a hint, hadn't gone up. So I think it was at like 60, and I think now it sits at $9. And so 9/11 hit, and then GE starts laying people off. Just not a good look. And so quickly I realized, you know, hey, you've got to pay more attention to your money. Nobody really cares about it as much as you do. So that's kind of where I wound up. It's like I didn't know what I was doing. I kind of paid the price for that. And so I figured, hey, I need to kind of lock down on this and kind of figure out what does a 401k mean? How can I invest in this? How do I not lose all my money? And that's kind of where I was. So again, that's kind of why I put this podcast together, is to help people with simple. And that's just one scenario. There's several others out there. But for people who just maybe don't know the nuts and bolts of things, or maybe are trying to figure out here, what's the best way to kind of save my money, or the best way to make sure for me, right, and my family to get ahead in life? What's the best way to make sure that I don't run out of money, that I don't go broke, that I don't wind up working as a Walmart greeter when I'm 66 or 67 years old? And so it's basically to put out some basic information, you guys, and kind of help you steer the ship a little bit for you, and give you some, you know, food for thought to how you can better save your money and not be guessing as much out there. I think there's a lot of guessing out there with finance. There's a lot of, you know, popular sayings like save 15%, or, you know, put your money in an envelope. All that's good, but it really doesn't speak to you, and it doesn't speak to why you're doing it. So that brings us to the first thing, was what I call is the Wheeler Wealth Formula. So if you think about it, a lot of people out there, when they're looking to get a target or hit a goal, so to speak, they kind of know what that goal is. So let's think about weight loss, right? I want to lose weight. Well, if you just say, I want to lose weight and leave it at that, chances are you're not going to lose weight, right? You're going to, you know, you'll try, maybe run a little bit for a day or two, maybe eat a little less. But you know, maybe track your progress, get on a scale, but you're really not sure how much weight you're going to lose or what the target is. You didn't say, you know, you're not sure what that is. Maybe it's a pant size, but it's important for those that do that, for those that do say, hey, I want to lose 10 pounds, or I want to get to a size 30 or a waistline, or I want to be a size 3 in a dress. Those people statistically, if you look at the studies and stats, if you like that kind of stuff, if you have a goal, you're much more likely to hit that goal than if you just said something arbitrary like, I want to lose weight, right? So guess what? It's the same with your money. For some of you out there, you're like, hey, I was trying to get out of debt, right? That's pretty easy as far as the goal, because the goal is what? Zero, right? We got debt. Maybe it's 10 grand, maybe it's 20 grand, maybe it's 100 grand. We know what we want it to be though, right? We want it to be zero. So it's a lot easier to try and work towards zero. But when we flip that switch, when we're out of debt and we're trying to save money for retirement, it becomes very hard because we don't know what that is. There's not like a universal retirement number out there for everybody. If you look at popular culture, there's, you know, you can argue for or against it, but there's a standard of what we call beauty, right? For men and women now. And so we can kind of say, that's what I want to go for, that. But when it comes for retirement, it's really kind of hard. We'll see, you know, you'll see an older couple, maybe a boomer couple in a BMW driving around a corner smiling. Maybe that speaks to you, maybe it doesn't. You'll see an older couple on a beach, you know, if you watch these popular financial commercials and they're sipping some Mai Tais. Maybe that speaks to you, maybe it doesn't. Chances are it doesn't. I mean, retirement looks different for everybody. And that's one thing that's great, right? Because you can choose your own retirement here in America. But the downside is it's really hard to find a role model. It's fine to find a target goal as to what that looks like. So that's why I have this Wheeler Wealth Formula. Yeah, sad news is there's a little bit of math involved. Good news is you don't have to do the math, right? We can help you with that, and I can give you some general pointers. But the point, what I'm trying to make is you've got to set a goal. And the Wheeler Wealth Formula helps you set that goal. Once you set that goal, right, let's say I'm 30 years old, I want to retire at 65, and I want to spend 54 grand a year in retirement, right? That's really all the information we need, along with, hey, guess what age you want to die, right? Because it's math. We got to figure out how long you're going to be in retirement. But we have numbers like that. Then we can figure out how much do you need to have by the time you turn 65 to retire the way you want to. So that's your goal. That's your target, right? So let me think of a quick example. So let's say I'm 30 years old, wife and kids, got a couple young kids, and retirement seems very far out, right? You know, that's 30. Who wants to think 30, 35 years out? I mean, when I was 30 years old, I mean, again, I was thinking, I just started at GE for a few years, and the last thing on my mind was thinking about retirement. But I tell you, the sooner you do that, the sooner you think about it, the easier it will be. It's much more easier than people think, and you just start your plan early, and you'll be able to implement it later, and then later hit your goal like nothing, right? It's kind of like, you know, running. If you wait, you know, if you're going to run a marathon and you wait till 2 weeks before the marathon to start training, guess what? You may not make it. You'll probably be tired. You might even die. But if you start training for that marathon, you know, 6 months out, a year out, you're going to have a much easier time. So it's the same with retirement. It's not fun to think about when you're 30. I get it. Probably, guess what? Not fun to think about. What am I? 40, you know, almost 50. Still not fun for me to think about. And I talk to clients all the time when they're 60. It's not fun for them to think about retirement either. It's never going to be a good time, is my point. So the sooner you do it, the better. But let's jump into the example. So again, you're 30 years old, got a couple kids, married. And you want to retire at 65. That seems to be a nice number everybody kind of has out there. And I'll say, okay, well, how much do you want to spend in today's dollars? How much would you spend if you were retired today? Pretend like you're retired today. How much money would you spend in retirement? Right? So you might say, I don't know, $54,000 a year. I want to spend $54,000 a year. That does it for me. Okay. Well, here's the first mistake people make, right? They start planning to save as if they're only going to spend $54,000, what, 30 years from now. What's going to be different 30 years from now? The price of things, right? Think about the price of a Coke. Was a Coca-Cola 20 years ago $2? I think it's $2 today. No, it's probably closer to a dollar. Now it's $2. When you went to the movies 10 years ago, how much were you paying, right? You're probably paying $7, $8. I think I went to see a movie last week, and it was $15. Depending on the studio, you can go for $20. So that's inflation, right? Inflation never stops. Goes up and up and up. If you average it out, and especially today, right? Everybody's, you might know more about it today, right? Because we got hyperinflation now. We've got 8.5% inflation, and people are freaking out. It's okay to freak out, but I would tell you to calm down a little bit. It's not going to be like that forever. If you average out inflation over 40 years, it's really like 3%. So going back to our example, we say we're going to spend $54,000 a day. What does that look like 35 years from now? 35 years from now, you got to do math on the calculator. People don't like that. I've done the math for you here. That's going to be $131,000. So 35 years from now, everything that you spend today that costs $54,000 is going to cost you $131,000 35 years from now. So I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. That's a lot more, right? And so you may be freaking out, but that's okay. You're going to be making more money as you go. You're going to be saving as you go, and you're going to be prepared for that, just so long as you know that you're saving for $131,000 and not just $54,000. Now, the second part of the wealth formula is, hey, what age is your great getting up morning? What's that? Well, I happen to believe in Jesus. That's my belief. I'm not saying you got to believe in Jesus, but whatever your choice is or however you think the afterlife is, really doesn't matter. One thing we all agree on is that we're not going to be here forever. So you have to pick what day or age you think you're going to die. I hate to say it like that, but that's just kind of the way it is because it's math. So I'll tell you now some stats if you're like, well, I don't know when that is. Well, some things you can do is you can say, hey, okay, let me look at my family. When did, you know, my mom and dad still alive? When did your grandparents pass? If your grandparents are still alive, when did their parents pass? And then you can kind of guess when you're going to go. If you don't like that, you can look at the stats. And right now, an average healthy female lives to age 95. If I didn't know anything else about you and you were female, I would say you'd probably bank on living till 95. If you're a male and you're healthy, that age is 92. And that's for everybody under the age of 65 right now. So if you're under the age of 65, chances are you're going to live to 95 as a female. Chances are you're going to live to 92 as a male. And guess what? That number keeps going up. So if you guys are younger and you're in your 20s, chances are you might live to 100. So for those of you that find that follow today's show, maybe, you know, the old Willard Scott, you know, happy birthday 100. They may stop doing that. They may start doing it at 120, right? Because being 100 won't be such a big event anymore. So my point is what? You got the plan on spending $131,000 for the better part of what? 30 years in that scenario. You retired at 65. You're going to die at 95. That's 30 years in retirement. And oh, by the way, that $131,000, that's going to go up each year by 3%. So again, math comes into play. There's a lot of tools out there to help you with that. But in this scenario, I did the math for you. So if we're going to spend $131,000 a year for 30 years with inflation, the amount of money you would need to have saved by the time you turn 65 to hit your goal is $2.1 million. Wow, 2.1, that's a lot of money, Wheeler. It is. Why am I going through that? You're like, Wheeler, that's a lot of math. I don't want to do math. You don't have to do the math. Don't worry about that. There's not going to be a pop quiz later. My point is this. You got to be cautious when you listen to the talking heads, the 15-minute or the 5-second blip on a TV commercial or a 15-second blurb from a talking head or an internet troll talking about this is the magic number. A popular one is $1 million, right? That's what I hear a lot lately. Oh, you need $1 million. I need $1 million to be retired. And I'll ask, where do you get that number from? And they'll say, I don't know. That's what I heard. That's in a million. Could be. Could be more. Could be less. So go back to that example I told you. In that example, That was $2.1 million. And that's not a rich lifestyle, right? $54,000 a year. I mean, we're not driving Lamborghinis. We're not hanging out with Kim Kardashian, right? That's, you know, that's a pretty even lifestyle. So if you even want to be, you know, if you want to be a big baller, then that's even going to be more money, right? Then you're talking $4, $5 million, $10 million down the road, right? But if just an average American out there, the median income is $54,000, and you just want to maintain that, that number is 2.1. So the point is, be careful when you're listening to stuff like that. Another popular misconception, 15% of my salary. I need to save 15% of my salary in the 401k. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. It's good to save, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have enough money when you turn 65 to live the way you want to, right? So unless you go through those calculations, and again, there are people to help you with that. People like me, other advisors down the road. There's internet websites. If you Google in retirement calculator, several things will pop up for you. You just need to kind of understand where that math's going, and that's kind of why I take you through that, is if you know what age you want to retire, how much in today's dollars you would spend in retirement, and what age you're going to die, that's it. That's all you need to know. Those three things are the Wheeler Wealth Formula, and now you're off and running. So don't get down into the weeds with the whole, well, we're doing any mutual funds or ETFs or crypto. None of that matters, right, until you get your goal in place. It's the same, again, with weight loss. Do I need to do keto or do I need to do Atkins? What does it matter if you don't know how much weight you want to lose? I can't tell you what diet works best for you if you don't know how much weight you want to lose. If you only want to lose 2 pounds, we don't need to go through all that stuff. So it's the same with retirement. You know, if we don't know how much you want to, you know, you need to have saved by the time you're retired, then it doesn't matter what you invest in because we're just shooting in the dark. Get that goal first. That's the first thing you do. And then you can start worrying about, well, IRAs, Roth IRAs, trust, annuities, all of that stuff. Until that point, until you've got the target in place, it really makes no sense. So here's something else to think about, right? We've talked about the Wheeler Wealth Formula. Let's talk about retirement, what that looks like. A lot of people have, especially the younger people, have trouble visualizing that. You know, I remember I was teaching a class at University of North Texas, and I remember asking a question. We were going over some statistics, and I said, we're talking about spending money in retirement and being older, and I said, guess, you know, how old do you guys want to be when you die? You know, let me ask you a question. How old do you guys want to be when you want to die? And, of course, these are all, you know, junior seniors in college, and nobody answers their question. You know, they don't want to raise their hand. I don't want to think about that, Wheeler. I said, well, guess what happens when I ask that question? Picture yourself now being 82, 83. I ask you that same question. Guess what the response is? I don't know. It's the same. I asked that of 82. They don't want to die either. Nobody wants to die. I mean, of course, there's one or two maybe. They're like, hey, I'm tired of this life, and I'm old. I can't get around. You know, maybe it's time for me to go. Aside from that, people want to live. So it's not fun to think about. But my point is, you kind of have to think about it. Guess what? Your life's going to look a lot different when you're 82, 92 than it is now when you're 30, right? Guess what? It's even going to look a lot different than when you first retired at 65. So one mistake I see retirees make or people planning for retirement is to think that, hey, my life is going to be roses and rainbows from 65 to 95, right? Unfortunately, that's just not the reality. You know, in your go years, we call it, right, when you're 65 to 75, you're traveling like you wanted to. You know, maybe you got your motor home. Maybe you're seeing the grandkids. You're going to Yosemite Park. Maybe you're going to Paris, France. You're doing all the travel that you always dreamed about. But then 75-ish comes, and now you're getting a little more tired. And maybe traveling looks a little different. Maybe you like to travel on the iPad. Let me just see what that looks like. Let me see what Venice looks like on the iPad. Maybe there'll be some type of virtual reality by then where you can just get in a booth, click a button, and now you're boom, you're in Paris, and you just walk around from the comfort of your home, okay? But my point is, you're probably not going to be as mobile, right? So you may want to plan for that. And then in the later years, guess what? You might need some people to take care of you, right? And so you're going to have to think of that in stages. And so if we go back to, if you watch the earlier part of what I said about the Wheeler Wealth Formula, you know, you kind of want to average out what you're going to spend in retirement, you know? And so if $54,000 is the average throughout the total, maybe you're spending a lot more in the beginning. Maybe you're spending 60 or 70 in the beginning of your retirement, and it trickles down. and then it goes back up again. Now, why would it go back up again? Well, because of things like long-term care. You're going to need, you need the people to come to your house and take care of you, or maybe you have to get put in a care facility, those type of things. Not fun to think about, but that is the reality. So when you're thinking about reality, that's kind of what you want to, that's what you want to look at. The other thing, when you're planning for retirement, so I talked about, you know, I talked about what life looks like for retirement a little bit, just food for thought, maybe not fun, but there you go. Up until that point, when you're planning, especially for you younger guys out there, don't think like it's going to be the same all the time, right? So for me, I've got twin daughters, 7 years old. I didn't think, and I'm a little later in life, we're a little older, I'm in my late 40s. I didn't plan on having twin 7-year-old daughters. That's two of everything, two of everything. So I thought I would probably be now more towards my, you know, downside of savings for retirement, right? I'm almost there. Guess what? I'm not. Twin 7-year-olds are what? Expensive. That's what they are. I love them, but they're expensive. That's two of everything. That's two daycares. That's two future cars coming up, I'm sure they're going to want, right? Maybe the Barbie Corvette. I don't know what it's going to be. It's two colleges they're going to want. It's two weddings. It's two whatever, right? So that's kind of pushed out my retirement, right? So it pushed out my savings. So now maybe I'm not going to retire at 60 like I thought I was going to do when I was 25, right? So maybe I'm going to retire a little bit later. So my point is life is going to happen, and so you just kind of have to allow for that. And so what do you do to allow for that? You oversave. You kind of oversave when you can. And that brings me to my next thing. What can you do to oversave? When you talk about cash flows. So cash flows might be something, especially in the inflation of today, as far as like, hey, I was saving good, but now everything's costing more. It's costing me more money and for gas. I'm paying twice as much in gas as I thought I was. My Starbucks coffee is going up. Those types of things. What can I do? Well, I hate to say after the fact, it's kind of hard to go back. If you were living your life as far as, hey, on the edge is what I call it, the financial edge, meaning, hey, I'm just going to I'm gonna pay for everything that I can afford and I'm good to go, it's going to be real tough for you. You're going to have to make some lifestyle decisions. I like to say you can have your cake and eat it too, but if you're at that point, if you're in debt, if you're living with the credit card stuff, it's going to be really hard. Not to say you can't get back there, but I would say ideally you kind of want to give yourself some wiggle room. That's why you kind of want to be saving probably close to 15 to 20%. That's where those numbers come in, into your, you know, your savings account along with your 401k, and give yourself some buffer on things like bills, right? Make sure you've got some wiggle room there, because now I think that's what this inflation has done is woken up a lot of people that, hey, I used to afford to live 30 miles from work because gas was cheap, but now it's not. Now I can't. Now what am I going to do? Or my property taxes went up. I could afford my house, but now property taxes went up and now I can't. So you kind of have to, when you think of things, when you buy something, one trick to do is don't think about what it costs today. Think about what it costs 5 years from now. So I'll give you an example. Let's talk about coffee. So you like Starbucks coffee. I'm not saying, and trust me, I'm not saying don't drink your favorite coffee place. Keep doing it. But just realize what it costs, and maybe that might change your behavior. A $5 cup of coffee today, if you bought that, what does that cost you 30 years from now in terms of retirement? That $5 coffee cup today means $14, close to $14 30 years from now. So, and I'm not saying you got to do the math exactly, but just kind of follow that. And when you go to buy something, think of it in that term and say, hey, it's not really costing me $5. It's costing me $14. Do I still want it? Right? And that's just a little trick, of a little mind trick to check. Still drink it. Still drink. You know, I am. But maybe don't drink three. Right? Or if you can't afford three, just know that now I'm drinking $45 worth of coffee a day, not just $15. So that's one trick to help. Another trick, this is a little bit dangerous, but it's more for the mature people, especially for those out there who travel a lot for work and a credit card isn't a necessity. Don't forget your rewards points. Reward points are a great way, and there's a lot of websites out there, and I'll touch on it here. I would say to further that, try and be loyal to those rewards points. What do I mean by that? Let's say you here in Dallas, you got American Airlines and Southwest. Right, each one gives you airline miles when you travel. Pick one, pick one. And then you're going to do far better off saving that money. And now you've got, let's say I went with Southwest. I don't have two different flight things broken out. I've got one pool, and I can use it. It'll build up faster. Same with credit cards, right? Be careful with credit cards. Absolutely pay them off every month if you're going to go that way. If you cannot pay off a credit card every month, please stop listening and jump forward or rewind. But if you can and you're disciplined and you're paying off your credit card every month, please pick one and pick the best one that gives you the rewards that you want, be it dinner points, flight, miles, whatever. Now, it may not seem like big a deal, but I can tell you personally, by me doing that strategy, each year I'm able to pay for my family's vacation where we want to go, right? I'm not saying it's going to work that way for everybody. Obviously, it depends on how much you make and that type of thing and how many rewards. I'm not saying don't fall into the trap of, hey, I'm earning every time I spend, because you're not. My point is, if you are using credit cards, just be smart about it. I think last year, my family and I, we went to Disney. We flew to Disney, stayed at Disney, and it was paid for with rewards points, right? And I think this year, we're going to go to San Antonio, same thing. So if you are disciplined, the first thing about credit cards is to make sure, I can't stress it enough, pay it off every month. If you cannot pay off your credit card every month, then nothing else I say matters. Then just stop listening. But if that is you, if you are able to do that, then just give your rewards points just a little bit more focus, and you know, you can save a vacation. Now, what do you do with that vacation savings dollars, right? You put that away for a rainy day. Now I've got that in times of inflation. I've got that in times of, you know, if at the end of the day I want to put it in my retirement account, I can do that. So you've got extra money. There's other things you can do too to save money. You know, it's the internet. For me, I don't know what generation I am now. I can't keep up. I don't know if it's Generation X, I guess is what it is. It's harder, right? The internet's still kind of fuzzy for me. But if you're adept at it, there's a lot of opportunities to earn extra money through the internet. I mean, take this podcast, for instance. If you have something you're proud of and you think people want to know about it, maybe you can monetize your podcast. Maybe you can start a consulting thing or whatever on the side that you're doing. Don't even get me started with social influencers. That boggles my mind how someone's famous for being famous, but it's out there and they're making a lot of money. Maybe that's you on the side. Maybe there's something about you that other people want to pay to watch. I don't know. You want to go the more traditional route? Extra jobs or things like DoorDash, right? You can work part-time, Uber, Lyft, things of that nature. My point is not to give you ideas about how to make extra money. My point is to say, don't negate that. There are things out there, and there's enough websites out there. You can Google, how do I make extra cash? Stuff will pop up, right? Find something that resonates with you and put that away, especially for you younger folks that maybe you're not married yet. Maybe you don't have kids and you got some extra time, right? And so think about that. You know, you can spend that extra time, you know, doing something fun, hanging out at the lake or playing video games or hanging with friends, or maybe spend an extra 2 or 3 hours a week doing something to earn some money and set that aside. And then that's going to help you tremendously in times like now. You're going to have choices when the next inflation thing hits or the next 9/11 hits, because you can have money set aside and you can have money in your savings and you paid it forward, so to speak. So that's my best advice for you guys out there. If you're trying to save for retirement, yes, if you have a 401k traditionally, great, do it. On top of that, though, especially for you younger people, think about some extra ways. Yeah, I know, volunteer work. Volunteer work also leads to extra money, right? If you volunteer at the YMCA or at your church, guess what? Maybe there's some babysitting opportunities. Maybe there's some paralegal opportunities. There's something going on that you can get paid for, right? So that would be my advice. Think about retirement in stages, and then think about your cash flow and what that looks like. And on those good years where you got the cash flow coming in, it's raining, and you're like Scarface, and you got piles of money, just try and put a little bit aside, right? And then for those times that are tough, now you've got a plan in place. I've got this extra pile of cash I can pull from. And, oh, by the way, I've got a little bit of a side gig that I know that I do, right? And hopefully it's a hobby and something you like doing, right? So the trick is, not getting a job, right? The trick is getting a job and with something you love, right? And having somebody pay you for it. So I hope that helps. And again, appreciate your guys' time and look forward to the next podcast. Thank you. Please be sure to join us next week. We're going to talk about this crazy thing of hyperinflation and then also some cash flow ideas of how you can manage that a little bit better. So can't wait to see you.